Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aavas Financiers Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachinder Bhinder, Managing Director and CEO of Aavas Financiers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in the earnings call to discuss the performance of our company for Q4 and FY23. The results and the presentation are available on the stock exchanges as well as our company website, and I hope everyone has had a chance to look at it. As you're all aware, former MD Sushil has decided to step down from the company for personal reasons. Sushil has helped create the foundation for the next phase of growth with significant investments in people and technology. On behalf of the board, we want to put on record that we deeply appreciate his contribution to Aavas and wish him the very best for his future endeavors. I want to reiterate that the board and promoter shareholders are committed to build a long-term institution, and we are confident of executing on a strategy with their support. Would also like to place on record that our promoter shareholders continue to be committed to supporting the long-term Aavas 3.0 vision. They have not sold a single share in nearly 2 years, and they have reaffirmed that they do not plan to sell any at all in the coming year either. The key driver for company's continued success is the deep and talented management bench at Aavas, many of whom have been with the institution since its early days and remain committed for the long-term journey ahead. We have with us today Ghanshyam Rawat, President and CFO, Ashutosh Atre, President and CRO, Siddharth Srivastava, Chief Business Officer, Surinder Sihag, Chief Collection Officer, Ripudaman Bandral, Chief Credit Officer, Jijy Oommen, Chief Technology Officer, Anshul Bhargava, Chief People Officer, Rajaram Balasubramaniam, Chief Analytics and Strategy Officer, and Ghanshyam Gupta, our Investor Relations. Q4 FY23 is the first quarter completed under the new Aavas 3.0 framework, and I'm happy to report that it has been our strongest quarter ever. For the quarter, we disbursed rupees 15,818 million, registering a 23% YoY growth. This is the highest quarterly disbursement in the history of Aavas. For the year, we have disbursed rupees 50,245 million, registering 39% YoY growth. We continue to borrow judiciously and have raised rupees 47,631 million at 7.25% during the year. As on 31st March 2023, we maintained a sufficient liquidity of rupees 32,747 million in the form of cash and cash equivalents and an unavailed documented sanctions. We have also gone live on our industry-leading implementation of the Salesforce platform and are now working on the next leg of our technology evolution. The entire organization at all levels is extremely energized and look forward to our next phase of growth. I will now hand over the line to Ghanshyam, President and CFO, to discuss the financials in detail.
Thank you, Sachinder. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to our earnings call. As on 31st March 2023, average borrowing cost of 7.61% against an average portfolio yield of 13.12% resulted in a spread at 5.51%. As on 31st March 2023, total number of live accounts stood at 187,149. That shows 24% year-on-year growth. Total number of branches was 346, 32 new branches added in last 12 months. Employee count 6,034, 16% year-on-year growth in anticipation of additional 20-25 new branches in Q4 FY23. Assets under management grew 24.8% year-on-year to rupees 1,41,667 million as on 31st March 2023. AUM has an impact of subsidy received of rupees 2,800 million during FY23 versus previous year 1,080 million. Therefore, AUM growth is 26.1% excluding the impact of subsidy. Product-wise breakup, home loan 69.9%, other mortgage loan 30.1%. Occupation-wise breakup, salaried 39.9%, self-employed 60.1%. During FY23, RBI hiked the repo rate by 250 basis points. Consequently, we have also increased our prime lending rate by 160 basis points during FY23 and a further increase of 40 basis points with effect from 5th April 2023. During the quarter, company borrowed an incremental amount of rupees 15,816 million at 8.07% as of March 23. Our average borrowing cost stood at 7.61% on outstanding amount of rupees 1,25,209 million. IGAAP to Ind AS reconciliation has been explained in detail for profit after tax and net worth on slide number 34 and 36 of our presentation. Borrowings. Access to diversified and cost-effective long-term financing. A very strong relationship with the development finance institutions. During the year, borrowed rupees 47,631 million at an average rate of 7.25%. Overall borrowing mix as of 31st March 2023 as 45% from term loans, 22% from assignment and securitization, 20.8% from National Housing Bank, and 12.2% from debt capital market. Lender support continued to remain extremely strong as Aavas evolution continues. Liquidity of rupees 32,747 million as on 31st March 2023. Cash and cash equivalent of rupees 13,687 million. Unavailed cash credit limit of rupees 1,100 million. Documented unavailed sanction from other banks of rupees 17,960 million. Profitability, profit after tax increased by rupees 19.8% year-on-year to rupees 4,282.8 million in FY23. ROA was 3.51% and the ROE was 14.09% for FY23. As on March 31st, 2023, we are very well capitalized with a net worth of rupees 32,697 million and capital adequacy ratio at 46.94%. Our book value per share stood at 413.6. Now I would like to hand over the line to Ashutoshji, President and CRO, to discuss the asset quality.
Thank you, Benjamin. The key portfolio risk parameters, asset quality and provisioning, 1 plus days past due stood at 3.3% as against 4.05% at the end of last quarter. Gross stage 3 stood at 0.92% and net stage 3 stood at 0.68% as on 31st March 2023. Gross stage 3 of 0.92% includes 0.11% of up to 90 DPD assets which have been categorized as GNPA following RBI's notification dated 12th of November 2021. During FY22, resolution plan was implemented for certain borrowers' accounts. As per RBI's resolution framework 2.0, dated 5th of May 2021, some such accounts with an outstanding amount of 885.2 million as on 31st of March 2023 have been classified as stage 2 and provided for as per regulatory guidelines. Out of 885.2 million, rupees 675.7 million is into 0 to 30 DPD bucket. Total ECL provisioning, including that of for COVID-19 impact, as well as resolution framework 2.0, stood at rupees 716.1 million as on 31st of March 2023. As shown by the strong work done this quarter, Aavas is well-placed to continue its industry-leading asset quality. In the no-deal roadshow presentation, we have also shared the performance of Aavas across the COVID period from FY 2020 to FY 2023. This was a time when the asset quality was really tested. Our average credit cost in the period is 0.23% and rupees 174 million of cumulative write-off. This is driven by our DNA of end-to-end in-house, from sourcing to underwriting to collection, as well as risk containment, legal, and technical evaluation. With this, I open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Hiren Kumar Thakurlal Desai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have two questions. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
One question is regarding cost of deposit. Do you have an estimate or some ballpark number where it might peak and around what time?
Sorry, you are asking about cost of borrowing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Estimation cost of borrowing.
Our cost of borrowing is on the basis of full year total borrowing, and it is computed on the basis of year-end various product we borrowed, and it is some product basis 7.61%. As we've seen, RBI has increased the rate in past 8 months-9 months, and thereby banks has increased their cost of borrowing, MCLRs and the other product rate also increased in the last 2 quarters-3 quarters. Thereby, we also seen some impact on our cost of borrowing. But still, we are full year basis, we have borrowed at 7.25%, and for the quarter, we have borrowed at 8% for this quarter borrowing. That give us a confidence we able to borrow our to feed our increased growth at a very competitive price.
Okay. Do you have any assessment as to overall blended cost of around what number it might peak? Because see, some of your borrowing may be still up for either renewal or further.
As you know, there is a borrowing is a mix of term loan from banks and institutions. Then we have a long-term borrowing from development finance institutions like Asian Development Bank, International Finance Corporation, CDC, London-based government agency. So those funding we borrowed. Certain lot of borrowing is on our fixed rate contract. NHB, we have borrowed around 3,000 crore rupees. Out of that, 2,000 crore rupees is a fixed rate borrowing for the 7 years, which is a very competitive price, less than 5%. Obviously, which money borrowed from banks, which is linked to MCLR, it comes for reset on frequency of their annual reset. So last 6 months, whatever loan come for reset, which reset has already happened, but some borrowing will also come for the reset in another 6 months time frame, that will come as and when happens.
Okay, so we still expect the overall borrowing cost to rise a little bit, right?
Yes, there will be no doubt. RBI has paused. That was a very positive impact for the market. For us also, April commentary camps little bit pause, or they see how the data comes at the regulator end. We have seen softening on the G-Sec rate. We have seen a softening on the bond rate. So we hope that now further, and banks will also be considered that aspect and not much increase MCLR rate. But older contract definitely will come for the repricing in the first 6 months. So we can see some impact in cost of borrowing in next two quarters.
Okay. The second question is regarding growth. So, okay, some of the your peers who are actually smaller in size, they have been growing and they are kind of guiding AUM growth in the vicinity of 30%. I think you are guiding somewhere around 22 to 25% kind of a number. Is it because of higher days or there's some other reason that?
If you compare, let's say, as you rightly mentioned in your question, ki smaller company which are in the size of 4,000-5,000 crore, if you compare Aavas at the same journey in 2016 or 17 in time frame at and the later on the 18 when we are the similar size, we are also growing 40 to 50% at that point of time. Obviously now base has increased, so that higher base obviously will have that growth impact, it seen. But if we refer the new business during this year, new business we done more than 5,000 crore versus last year 3,600 crore, which gives around 39-40% growth in the new business. And the AUM basis, we have grown 26% during FY23. And we have invested also in the various branches and a product, process, policy, technology that give us a comfort and opportunity also there in the market. So that will add our future growth trajectory going forward.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back into it.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Renish from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a small correction. This is Rinesh from ICICI Securities. Sir, two questions. One is, on the slightly strategic one. Of course, earlier we have been guiding at 20-25% kind of a growth number. But now since, we are investing into tech, we are investing on branches, and plus we are introducing new products. So on blended basis, how should one look at the AUM growth trajectory? That's point number one. Secondly, let's say even if we are comfortable growing at a faster clip, does that mean that we have to introduce new products? And if yes, then maybe in near term, what should be the ideal loan mix in terms of home loan versus non-home loan portfolio?
I think our secular growth has been overall in the range of 20-25%, and I think this is a mix of, one has to look at from a granularity perspective, both from geographies and the product lines. I think from the geographies where we are already present, I think we are going a little deeper into those markets, much more than the normal average. And where we have invested, we actually follow our normal DNA of staying put, invested, learning the markets and understanding, and then stepping up and accelerating. I think that the two parts which are there, which constitute our individual self-construction home loans. On the other product lines, I think the product lines which we have invested in have started really firing, and I think they are all engines firing, helping us to really build in scale up on a granularity basis across the product lines. So these are the two parameters which are there, which are contributing to the ones. And on the mix, I think on the mix which are regulatory guided on a home loan, non-home loan ratio, we will follow what is guided as per the regulator, the mix. And as the mix of the home loan increases, we'll have the MSME, the LAP portion which is there to be sequentially increasing in those lines.
Okay. So broadly, I was saying, even if, let's say, the new products grow at a faster clip, the blended growth will still remain at 20-25%.
See, you have to look at growth from two perspectives. One is the you have the existing geographies where growth would be much more deeper, which would be above the average growth. Whereas the new territories which you enter, like for example, Karnataka and Uttar Pradesh, which we really want to step up, I think there we have been very conscious to have a moderated growth. As a result of which, the average growth comes to a level of 20-25%. So some of the regions, some of the geographies which are deep invested in, grows at a faster pace. The ones which are where we want to accelerate would be at a median pace. And where we have invested, we'll really look at how it spans out and then really step up our levels. So I think case in points are the two geographies which I talked. And I'll have my CBO, Siddharth Srivastava, talk about the two geographies, typically the Uttar Pradesh and Karnataka. Sid, over to you.
Yeah. See, if you look at on the terms of sizes, Karnataka is almost similar to what Rajasthan is. And we have, we always on every year, we every 2-3 years, we identify certain new geographies. Karnataka, Odisha, Uttar Pradesh are the few geographies which we identified to grow. And we will continue to go deeper into our existing geographies. And this will bring us the required growth, which we are looking at around 20-25%.
Got it. And sir, my second question is slightly on the qualitative side. So, of course, there is an top management change. Do you foresee any attrition, let's say, at one or two level below DCXOs?
So I think as a management strength, which is there as part of the CXO levels, and they're deeply committed on the side. So I think that's already there, and we have a good amount of bench strength which is there. And I think over a period of last couple of years, what we've really done is we've had multiple product lines along geographies. So I think what it really helps is one is to monetize on the customer side. And B to help us really help the manpower portability. So if any of the attrition hits, I think we are very safeguarded because we have at least the buffer and the bench strength which is already available to really play that and really mine the opportunity which is available in the period of time. So I think we are really well capacitized, if I were to put across all those lines. So I think A, the geographies, B, the product verticals, and a deep investment in the people side, I think is the one which is there. And on the people side, I would really like to reiterate that we have invested in reskilling and upskilling, and we have a curated program with IIM Ahmedabad, and where we send across select of our staff to really work on the live projects which will help us in our fields. And then this is one part of our training and development and developing the leadership bench, which really helps in the future course of work. And the second enabler, which has been technology. I think we are moving towards institutionalization. And when we say so, we say that we would be more on process policies, and technology is one of the major facilitators. Continuing with our touch and feel of assessment, credit assessment. What really technology helps is to increase the productivity, to be more predictable, and help us in overall managing the stuff. So I think that helps us in managing the overall stuff which you referred to. And on the technology side, I think implementation once is there, you'll see the real jump in the productivity and the other metrics, operating leverage really kicking in. So I think overall we are very poised to take that as a matter of what it comes in the coming times.
Got it, sir. So this is very helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for this opportunity. I have broadly 2-3 questions. So one is on the home loan portfolio. When I look at the implied value of home loans disbursed during this quarter, there seems to be a sharp deceleration in growth. It seems to be about 12% YOY for this quarter. And then when I also look at the implied disbursements as well as the ticket size data, it seems to suggest that there's been some kind of decline in terms of volume of loans disbursed in the home loan segment compared to last year. So could you just help us understand what kind of slowdown are we witnessing in our home loan portfolio? What I see to my next two questions. Thank you.
If you see in overall number, this quarter we have disbursed much higher number and ever best quarter in the compared to last year quarter four. You are talking particularly one segment where you find this year we found very good pace to do our assignments of MSME and LAP portfolio. If you see other peer group, they struggled in that piece. We have good amount of portfolio, LAP and MSME got assigned. We got extra, let's say, buffer in overall book, continue to lend our MSME LAP portfolio. So that's way you, in proportion, you found that a home loan and non-home loan mix is not different than what you see mix in a quarter four of last year, basically. This goes, let's say, recognition of Aavas credit policy, underwriting norms, where banks are from HFC, not only looking for home loan, but they are looking for non-home loan or MSME book from us, basically. In last 1 year, we have done 1,000 crore rupees assignment, 900 crore rupees MSME LAP book got assigned to them, basically. That's creditability of Aavas book, Aavas credit culture, which getting recognized with the large public and private sector banks.
So, sir, if I understand this correctly, you're saying you prioritized the MSME and LAP segments over the home loan segment. Is that how we should understand?
No. Please, let me again clarify the matter. If you see, we as a housing finance company has a certain restrictions to do non-home loan business, basically. So, during this quarter, during the full year basis, we have churned out lot of MSME and LAP book from on book to off book. So we got extra cushion to absorb MSME and the LAP book also during the quarter, during the full year basis. That's why you see in quarter four, mix is getting betting different than what you see in the mix of the quarter four of last year. But overall at a business strategy, we will remain at 70 to 75% home loan, 25 to 30% non home loan book on the long term basis.
I'm not sure if I understood this, but you know the only point that I was referring to that there's been some kind of deceleration in terms of the value of disbursement, and if you look at the number of loans disbursed, then there's been a degrowth in just the home loan segment. So that is what I was trying to understand. But I can take this with you offline. My next question is, in terms of margins. So while the share of, the higher yielding non-home loan book has been increasing, and we've also taken about 160 basis points PLR hike during this year, and as I see, we also have a 60% floating rate book now. The spreads have come down in this quarter, and in fact, if I look at the spreads up till the last quarter, they were stable. So, can you explain what kind of pricing pressure or competition are we witnessing in our home loan segment, if at all, since we haven't really seen spreads expand at all, despite the share of high yielding book going up and. The company has taken PLR hike.
I think in the spread side, there is a marginal reduction we have seen on the spread in this quarter. It's primarily on the two account. We have seen post of borrowing get increased, and similarly, it takes on time to pass on the increased rate to the assets, new generation assets, basically. So there is always demand some gap on the translation on the new business than the cost of borrowing. We borrow fund from the market. But overall basis, we are confident to maintain our spread. Which is given our long-term vision, 5% and above spread continue to maintain in that bucket.
And we have seen, as I earlier mentioned, we have seen RBI, so RBI has given some relief commentary in the April policy. I think that will also help in both the sides. But as a competition, we are not seeing, I think, market as such a huge in the rural semi-urban area. I think long-term perspective, in earlier calls, we have given this commentary a number of times in a geography where we work, a household unit versus home loan penetration is not more than 2 to 3% in those markets. So we have enough spaces there to grow our business.
Sure. And sir, why have staff costs come down quarter on quarter? Yeah, that will be my last question. Thanks.
I think you know, in India's accounting system, we grant a ESOP schemes. So, 2, 3, 4, 5 ESOP schemes are there. Certain older schemes are getting matured during this quarter. So whatever has been ESOP not exercised, not vested, got a reversal of expense in this quarter. So that's why you see slight manpower cost in this quarter is lesser than last quarter on that account.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I wanted to understand this transition at core management level. From you being appointed as CEO last quarter to Mr. Sushil ji resigning within 3 months. So while we have seen some of the founding members of a company moving out due to personal or professional reasons, but it's usually done in a transition and planned manner, with investors also being on about the same. So to understand, was the board and core management aware about this move well in advance?
So I think from this perspective, we have embarked upon the Aavas 3.0 journey, and Sushil has been there since the founder and has set up the franchise right from the day one. And I think from a perspective of institutionalization, where we embarked on a journey on people processes, I think it was his personal decision to take a call. And I think we respect his decision, and he's left a franchise which is sound on rock solid foundation to really build upon and to embark upon an institutionalization journey. And as a part of our 3.0, I think we delivered as a team the best of the quarters on all the matrices. And we really want to build across various nerve centers across India as a pan-India institution, which has sustainable growth with quality as the key metrics. And really have a right footprint, which is really we all as are proud of the franchise which we develop.
Sir, but I get that point. So you mean the board was aware about this move during last quarter itself? Is that a fair conclusion to make?
No, I think in the last quarter board meeting, let's say before that board quarter meeting also, I think we has in a plan to invest for our 3.0, in which two strategy were planned, investment in the tech field, where we thought in next 10 years journey, that investment in technology will help next 10 years journey. Second thing was planned to enlarge management bandwidth to capture next 10 year growth, available growth in the market in the home loan space. So management bandwidth got enlarged. Accordingly, there was Sushilji was an earlier, I think, entire day-to-day activity, strategy, everything PC is looking. So number of times he got chopped in the system to manage the entire volume of a business. So there was strategy to separate day-to-day business and strategy, tech piece, tech transformation separately. It was announced and moving ahead to implement that strategy. Obviously, in going forward, by close to next board meeting, I think he found
have his move on and want to have his have to want to do move on in his in career, so and choose a different path. So I think he discussed with the board members, and board members, as Sachin mentioned, recognized his contribution in Aavas journey, and that's all we are looking forward for support from all the shareholders, stakeholders, to take Aavas to the next journey.
What it said, like, but still the exit was a little surprising with the founding member resigning and being excluded in the same board meeting. So with the second with respect to the strategy, in the newer states that we've ventured into in the last couple of years, would we still be focusing on going at SE level and, you know, the rural focus lending is what we will be doing, or we will want to be a little more semi-urban focused in the newer geographies?
I think in the new states, the same strategy continues of focusing on tier 3 to tier 5 towns and the cities which are there. And again, on the self-individual construction loans to be really focused and where our core area of expertise and our DNA lies. And I think in that journey, what we've done is to have people with the underwriting experience, distribution experience, the homegrown talent from Aavas, to really go across and set up and scale up in those geographies. So I think it continues with the same pace, same growth, and in a much more contiguous manner what we have been doing as a franchise and as an institution.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. My question is related to what Shripal asked in the previous question, right? Now, just wanted to understand a little bit more from the strategic direction perspective, right? I mean, last quarter, clearly there was a strategic decision which was being taken about splitting the MD and CEO roles, and it was made us to believe that that was probably the right way to go ahead in terms of forging the next 10-year growth strategy. Now, clearly, what has happened in the past quarter is there to see for all of us. But do we anticipate any further changes in the leadership team, or is there a need to further expand the executive committee or the core executive committee or new additions in the team that you are looking at?
I think from a perspective of there is a sufficient amount of bench strength which got created as a part of Aavas 3.0, and as I would say that the CFO Ghanshyam Rawat has been with the franchise for the start since its inception. Ashutosh Atre completes 9 years this month, and he's been the right from underwriting to current CRO. Surinder Sihag, who's there as a part of our Mancon, is there as a part of collections. He's been there for a long period of time. With me about 40 months in the franchise being there, and the new CXOs who've been there, actually has really helped to build the right kind of management bandwidth and depth which is there. And below them, I think as a layer goes, I think we have sufficient amount of bandwidth which is available with homegrown talent, which is which will help to scale up sustainably and credibly with which our DNA rests on. And in a much more laminar fashion, I would put across. So I think the franchise and the institution is poised for good growth with the kind of foundations both on financial capital, human capital, and technology as one of the key enablers to take the momentum forward. So just to give an outlay on the, we have a very strong middle layer management of more than 100 people on the origination side, which consists of NFM, circle heads, zonal heads, and state heads. And on the risk and credit side, we have more than 234 people which have been there, and 71% of them have been with Aavas for more than 3 years plus. And in collections, we have 54 of them, which is more than 78% of the employees are there with 3 years plus of experience. So I think there is a deep-dive experience which is there, and I say that the continued management bandwidth which is available as far as the transitioning is concerned, I think is already available, and it's been demonstrated. And I think the Aavas 3.0 first quarter results bears the testimony to the foundation which is set for the journey going forward, keeping the core DNA of risk architecture intact and building the franchise on risk-adjusted returns and a much more stronger, sustainable quality growth, which is driven by governance and quality, and with the continued board support over a period of these years.
Sure. Thanks. The other clarification which I wanted during your opening comments, you did mention that the promoters are committed to the business. They haven't really sold any shares in the past and they don't intend to do so in the coming future. Is there any timeline to it that you can specify?
I think, as I said, that the since the last share sale by them was in 2021, they have not sold a single share in the last 2 years, and they have reaffirmed that they do not plan to sell anything at all in the coming year either. I think that's the comforting factor, if I were to put across from a... Okay, I hope that answers your question.
Okay. Okay. And just last question is, the presentation deck has mentions about management employees and board members owning about 3.9% equity in the company. And I'm assuming that this would include some of the new equity or ESOPs allotted to some of the new joinees who have recently joined the company, maybe in the last 1 to 2 years. Is there a fair assumption?
3.9% of management employees and board members. Obviously, this is on as on March 31st, 2023. ESOPs, which has been given a recent grant in last two schemes, obviously is not included here. Recently, in last, let's say, 2 years, we have given almost 14.50 lakhs of ESOP shares in out of given total in three schemes. So obviously that is not included here, but this is on March 31st, 2023. A number as on that date.
Sorry, Ghanshyamji, the number you mentioned was 14.5 lakh shares, right? 14.5
yeah.
lakh options.
Yeah, options. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's this option is given to, let's say, all NCOM members, and below it gone up to three level, we have gone down to those employees that level basically. So that will give us a lot of confidence. Value creations will happen in coming years.
Okay. Thank you so much and wish you good luck.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nidhesh Jain from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. With the new tech rollout and the Aavas 3.0, Do you see any changes to the underwriting model that we currently have? We have largely a decentralized underwriting model. Do you see any changes to that?
So underwriting model, meaning, the core of underwriting is actually touch and feel, where we go and do the assessment of the client, typically self-employed, non-professional. But there are various checks and balances, validations of documentation, and a lot of clerical stuff which is to be done by the underwriting team, which will be taken care of by the new this technology tools. Yeah.
And I'll have Ripu, our CCO, to add on to what Ashutosh.
Good evening, everyone. Ripu Daman this side. So with this new technology transition which we are going through, it will add efficiency and economies of scale. So there is a lot of work which we do in different platforms which would get joined into one. So we'll be able to take a decision which would be much faster and more accurate. And of course, we've been spread in 346 branches, and our core is touch and feel, which we would continue to do. And we would take the help of technology to the most which we can. I hope this answers your query.
Sure. So there is no fundamental change in the underwriting model. Technology will be much more enabler in the way that we are doing the business right now.
But just to add on to that, on the models which you had developed, which are more prescriptive, descriptive, I have Rajaram Balasubramanian, who's joined Aavas from Citi New York, to underlay what is that it helps in the entire thing, and what this technology and these models really help. Raja, why don't you share? He comes directly from Citi New York to Jaipur.
Sure, Sachinder. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I think just to add to what Sachinder said, I think if you look really at what technology has done for us today, it's taken away how much time it takes for us to receive information from the front end, process that, use our intelligence, and go back at the point where the customer is being met to give them enabling decisions. So to add to what Ashutosh and Ripu said, the fundamental model does not change, but what we can do now is have a better vision of how we can use that data to make a more calculated decision, right? So I think that's the objective of using models to get that consistency and reliability in every file that we process. So the fundamental building blocks remain the same. The fundamental strengths remain the same. We just use technology to leverage that and use data to give us the insight into it. That's in short. Yes, I think we're kind of building it in three ways, right? So we're building the skills, we're building the technology, we're building the culture to embed the analytics into the system. And in terms of analytics itself, all of the types of analytics that you already know, whether it's descriptive, whether it's prescriptive, predictive, we have a plan to build that into the entire customer experience to leverage technology. I hope that gives you a perspective of the technology and data integration, how we plan to do that.
And just to add on, I'll have Gigi to talk about what are the layer of technology which really helps, and Gigi has a deep down experience of having helped technology to build fintechs over a period of our career. Over to you, Gigi.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. Good to have this conversation with you all. When it comes to the technology transformation, we looked at three important pillars. One, of course, how technology can help us become more efficient faster. At the same time, how it can help us scale what we do in a much more efficient, faster, and accurate way. And then third is, of course, how do we give a great customer experience, right? So when we looked at in the Aavas 3.0, how do we take our journeys to the next level and make it a great experience for our customers? And of course, one of the biggest objectives that we have laid down was how do we make the system efficient in such a way that the turnaround time, right, is enhanced significantly. And by doing so, both operational efficiency and customer experience, both the pillars will be taken care of. So with this objective, a year back, we have brought on board Deloitte to help us through the digital strategy roadmap exercise, looking at the next 10-year vision of the organization. So we have then chosen to go with best-of-the-class technology tools like Salesforce, MuleSoft for doing the entire orchestration of the ecosystem to connect with the Aavas, and then which is blended with the analytical models. So this will be a front layer of the systems. We are glad to share with you that we have completed that first phase of the rollout, and as of April, we have rolled out Salesforce to the entire organization, and April month has been closed well in the new system. Of course, currently we are undergoing another big transformation on our back office and middle office systems, and we are implementing Oracle FLEXCUBE and Oracle Fusion on Oracle Cloud. So this is to make sure that our systems are much more scalable and robust. So I think the great work that we all have done in different phases, these technology solutions are going to make it much more scalable, and give better experience to our customers.
Thanks, Gigi.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for the detailed reply. Secondly, if you can share at what level our branch tends to mature, if you can share that three-year-old or four-year-old branches, what is the AUM of that branch or disbursement per month of that branch? The cohort of branches which are 3 years of three years of vintage.
Sorry, if you can repeat, we just lost your Can you repeat the question?
Sure. So if you can share the AUM of branches which are of 3 years of vintage, the branches that you have opened 3 years back, what is the AUM per branch on an average of those branches, or disbursement of those branches on an average?
Yeah, we will, this data point we will share separately or publish it for everyone. But as a branch maturity, see, in the tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 town, our branches are very low OPEX model branches, where we take a branch rental is roughly 20,000 to 25,000 per month branch rental, then 4 or 5 employees remain there. Branches within a 6 months, because if we have the contiguous approach, we don't go open a branch in new immediately. It's a contiguous approach. We keep on doing some business from that branch. So we open a branch at that place so that day one the branch start to give us a business. Within a 6 month time frame, our 90% branches has a break even. Today we have almost 1 year old branches is giving us a ROE 12% upward. 3 year more branches is giving us a roughly 20% old ROE branches basically.
Sure. And lastly, if you can share the AUM breakup, that would be a geographical breakup of AUM, that would be useful. And any comment on how the AUM in Rajasthan is growing, has grown in FY23?
Rajasthan, I think during this year also, Rajasthan, our most of the oldest state, has grown new business perspective around 25 to 30% growth we have seen in the Rajasthan during this school year basis. MP has also grown a better. Gujarat and state Gujarat and Maharashtra has also grown around 25% plus.
These are on disbursement basis, right? These are on disbursement.
Yes, disbursement growth. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for myself.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on the quarter. Just one question. We've hiked PLR by 160 bips, but when I look at your yield in on slide 22, it has improved only 50 bips YOY from 12.6 to 13.1. So is it that we are hiking PLR but reducing the spread above PLR for our existing customers?
Yes, we have increased 160 basis point in the full year basis. You see on assets and liability both sides, we have very good mix on interest rate scenario risk basis. My liability is around 50 basis point around the fixed rate borrowing we have done, I mentioned in earlier in another question. Asset side also we have around 50% around the fixed rate asset we have basically. When we increase our rate, almost 50% increase happens on a total AUM basis. And remaining 50% fixed rate contract has a repricing power after 3 years, every 3 years basically. So we can't correlate 160 basis point, 100% will have an impact on overall AUM base, because my liability is also not increasing in that fashion basically. You will see that positiveness is there in the ALM. Not only tenant basis, but ALM, interest rate scenario basis, it has a perfect match is there basically. So that's one thing. And second thing, yes, we agree. New business translation of rate increase in a new business takes some time. Laggard impact comes after a quarter basically. So that has also gone a little bit in our overall AUM yield is not showing a complete increasing trend what we have increased our PLR.
Right, so sir, let me ask another way. Aapka disbursement yield in March 2023 versus disbursement yield in March 2022, what would be the increase? Or if you can give the actual numbers, 13 point something, 12 point something.
I think we will come back on this exact number, how that numbers are there basically. But as I mentioned, translation of interest rate rising takes its own time on the new business.
Okay, and when we do a PLR hike, it gets transmitted on the spot or with 1 quarter lag, 2 quarter lag?
Yeah. No. Interest rate, when we increase our PLR, we disclose our in our website when it is effective. Like last our increase happened on the 5th of April 2023. Whatever contracts are at a floating rate, that got impacted on the same day.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my questions. Sir, apologies, I joined in a little late. There was overlap with another earnings call. So, just in case you've answered any of the questions which I'm about to ask, please let me know. I love this. I can always listen to the recording. Sir, first thing first, I mean, what I heard in the last 15-20 odd minutes, you talked about technology and how it's kind of going to help us.
But the line for you is not very clear, sir. I request you to please...
Is it better now?
This is much better, sir. Please go ahead. I request you to please repeat your question, right?
Yeah. So, sir, I mean, in the last, I would say, 15-20 minutes that I heard, I think we talked a lot of good things that we have done on the technology side and which will maybe help us accelerate growth over the next 2 years. I Vicky also heard we talk about this technology investments that we have done, bring down the TAT. Just wanted to understand, is it a fair understanding that TAT, which is about, let's say, 10 days now, would come down to anywhere around 3 to 4 days once you have implemented all the technology changes that you want or the technology improvements that you want?
Yeah, if you see, our average lead time is around 11 to 12 days before we go on live on the Salesforce. We gone as a pilot project on the Salesforce in the March. We have launched full-fledged from the April. It is under hyper mode for the 3 months where it will get stabilized. Then after that, we will start to see the real result of how the TAT will get reduced. But our in vision statement, our as when we took a Salesforce, our targeted that we will bring down between average 6 to 7 days.
Got it, sir. So the second question again that I had was I think we briefly also mentioned that we very recently in April deployed Salesforce. So I'm sure there would have been some teething issues in terms of training your credit officers to the new systems. Just wanted to understand by when can we expect these teething issues and the new deployments that we are doing in our back office and middle office of Oracle FlexCube and Oracle Fusion. By when can we expect these teething issues to be settled? And more importantly, looking at the last quarter where you did about 1600 crores of disbursements, which broadly translates into 500, 600 crores of monthly disbursement run rate, exit run rate. What is the target that we have in mind once these teething issues are behind and once you have implemented these softwares that you're intending to? I mean, should we now start expecting that the disbursement run rate will start moving towards that, I would say, 800 to 1,000 crores?
So I'll just answer about the teething issues. So any new thing will definitely have some kind of a resistance and a training curve. Okay. And every day there is a resolution of the teething issues. But just to confirm that the Salesforce will never be the hindrance for doing the business for us. If it is a teething issue, if it is a training issue, we might have to work harder to clear the cases. So yes, it is going to get resolved. So we have completed 1 month. So we are wiser now in terms of how to handle the Salesforce. Maybe in this quarter, by the end of this quarter, it will be completely up and running, but definitely nothing to do with the business. It is not going to be hindering the business.
So, Mr. Okay. Do you want to comment on the monthly disbursement run rate that you have in mind?
So we have a plan for the year, and accordingly we will be delivering the numbers in terms of monthly. So quarter on quarter we are going to achieve the target as we have planned,
budgeted.
Got it. And so last question, thank you so much for being patient. So now with I would say Mr. Sachinder kind of heading this franchise, I mean, is there going to be a change in the DNA of the organization? What I mean essentially is we were always reckoned as an affordable housing company doing lower ticket size loans. Over a course of time, do you think that there is a change? There will be a change in thought process that would want to also start doing slightly higher ticket sizes as well?
So, Vijay, to answer your question, I think the core DNA continues to be the same, and our DNA of it is more of deepening the management team, retaining our original DNA of evaluating hard to underwrite credit in SENP and SEP customers backed by mortgage. I think it's more to institutionalize, to scale up with sustainable quality, and which the franchise is known for over a period of 11 long years, and how to use tech to really scale up on that. So our focus, keep that focus on tier 3 to tier 5 markets, self-individual construction, home loans, serving the unserved, underserved, and unbanked continues in the same momentum, in the same breadth, in the same form, with the risk architecture of overlaying risk-adjusted returns. And with growth, first comes the governance, then comes quality, and third comes growth. So I think that those overlaying factors of DNA as a part of the core DNA does not change at all. We'll build on the sustained DNA which has brought the franchise to the current level with the fundamentals, which are so right in place, and build on that with sustainable scale and quality over a period of coming years. So Abhijit, I hope that answers your question.
What Sachinder said, I think let's on the behalf of entire management team who are here at this moment, and I am oldest member in the entire group, and on the behalf of promoter shareholder, we assure you all the company's DNA, company's credit underwriting principles, governance factor, those will be topmost priority in Awas 3.0. We will keep governance as the topmost, credit quality, culture is remain as the same. What you have seen in last 10 years will be similar in the next Awas 3.0 journey.
Got it. Thank you, Ghanshyamji. Thank you, Sachinderji. Wish you and the team the very best for Awas 3.0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abhijit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mona Ketan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. So so we have seen about 160 bit CLR hike in last fiscal. So what I wanted to understand was what percentage of AUM has seen rise in EMI after you've exhausted the tenor increase.
Different point of time, we increased 160 basis point in FY23. Roughly 90% old book we have seen has an increase in a tenor, because generally our tenor was not so large in our customer segment. So there is enough scope where we have increased the tenor. Around 10% sort of customers has got a repriced, their EMI got increased, and they are serving their increased EMI going forward.
And if I may try to understand to what extent the EMI has increased in terms of percent, whatever was the average EMI and to what extent has it increased for these 10% of customers?
It depends. I think
It depends ki customers customer at what rate and what tenor the customer is there basically. If it a customer is a average rate is a 12% or 13%, his EMI got increased by around 500 to 1000 rupees per month.
Okay. And what would be say the average EMI in your case, about 10,000 rupees or more?
Is it 12,000 rupees?
Okay. Okay. Got it. Secondly, in your both your HL lab as well as the SME portfolios, incrementally, what are the rates that we are onboarding new customers at?
Non-HL and if you look at non-HL, it ranges between 13% to 15%, and home loan we will be around 10.5 to 12% approximately.
And if I may try to understand, what was this year back when you were onboarding customers, especially the HL, if you could just mention. So today it's 10.5 to 12. What was it say a year back?
I think I mentioned earlier that there is a transition in the interest rate rising and period time to time basis. Roughly, we have seen and a different product segment increasing trend in this journey 50 to 100 basis point depending upon the product, depending upon the customer geography. Yes, I mentioned in earlier also that rising interest rate takes its own time to pass to the new customer acquisition basically. But now that we will see in the coming 2 quarters more, better transition will happen.
Okay. So just to understand it better, the 160 date, this hike, we have not seen a similar hike when it comes to onboarding new customers. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, ma'am. That's natural. That's not an Aavas and that's not a less specific. It's a natural happen in the entire lending business. What they increase in the MCLR and PLR rate. New business transition takes its own time in every way.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question was on this corporate share.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but the volume for you is very low. I request you to please speak closer to the mic.
Is it better?
Yes, this is much better, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, so my question was on corporate, which used to be like 0.1% of the book. This quarter, there's that increase to say 0.3, so about more than 30 crore something has been increased there. What would be the nature of this?
Sorry, actually, you're not able to hear. It's not audible. Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, I was saying that in the split that we give, retail and corporate as of last quarter was 0.1 and this quarter it has moved up to 0.3. So more than about 30 crores of increase is there. So just wanted to understand the nature of this loan.
It is a normal. I think it's not in 1 quarter impact. It is a full year basis. Last year we were at 0.1. This year ending, we are at 0.3. So in overall basis, it's just 22 crore rupees increase on this segment. Keeping in the overall our volume and overall AUM basis, it is not a that big amount basically. And in lot of what happens in the smaller town, town cities, lot of people is a director of a small company, they take and come a home loan. So that company also come as a co-applicant and main applicant in our case. The loan, as per a regulatory compliances, the loan get tagged as a corporate basically. But as far as business model is concerned, we are not in the business or not is planned to go in the business of a builder lending or let's say large corporate loan lending. We are not.
You can maybe check. I am seeing it in Q3 it was 0.1 and in Q4 it was 2.3. But anyways, you can correct that if that is wrong in the last presentation. The other question was maybe on LAP and the pure home loans. This year also on incremental disbursements, 35% of the disbursements were to LAP. So going ahead, maybe how do we see this mix moving? Can it become 35-65 or we are comfortable keeping it at 30-70 LAP and pure home loans?
We as you know, as per our compliance perspective also, we need to be remain between 30-70 or 35-65 in that range. It's very difficult to have a comment on 1%, 2% here and there. Basically, it depends upon business opportunity. It depends upon what we able to assign to the make able to off book from the balance sheet side basically. But overall basis, we want to be remain between 30 to 35% non-home loan book or 70 to around book is a home loan book.
Okay, so 30 to 35 is 5%. Okay. Okay. And last question was there on provisioning. So we are probably the only HFC which has seen, say, increase in 90 plus DPD this year, point to point. But we have been too tight on, say, providing as a result of which, say, on standard asset, we just have about 23 bits of provisioning and very low provisioning on stage 2 as well. So how do we see the credit cost going ahead and why say, some reduction in the prudence on having the provisions on the book?
No, I think point-to-point basis, our gross NPA is lesser than last year. Basically, difference is on account of as we mentioned in earlier, sometime back, updated to all the investors or the shareholders, this year we changed, like till last year we acquired under SARFAESI assets, that asset get classified as asset acquired for sale and not as a loan asset basically. This year from April 1st onward, we are not classifying that asset, that loan as an asset acquired for sale, but we are treating as a NP assets there itself basically. So that's why you see a marginal change in that account. If we exclude that amount, then our gross NPA will fall to 0.70% basically. So that's apple to apple comparison of a two period. Secondly, your provisioning, I think we are very well covered on the provisioning. We have fully India's compliant. We do historical our assessment or our NPA provisioning, what asset, when asset goes an NPA, how much amount we recovered from that asset, how much time it takes. Accordingly, the provision get built in the balance sheet. We are fully covered as far as assets provisioning is concerned. And let's say, one of the data points which let's say I want to share here, in last 12 years, we disbursed almost 22,000 crore rupee disbursement. Our total write-off is just 25 crore rupees, which is just 11 basis point on write-off. So that gives us a confidence that our provisioning is well covered our NPA assets.
Okay. And then lastly, on the management question that you said, augmenting the management bandwidth, and to capture, say, next 10 years growth. So at our size, even if we say grow 20-25%, we'll still be below 1 lakh crore. There are many companies which do have one MD and CEO till they reach that size. Maybe one could have a deputy CEO. But as far as the key position is concerned, we have many examples. So maybe reasoning made a little sense. So any greater understanding on that?
I think we noted your suggestion.
And but as a long term growth, I think management team bandwidth has been, I think, as Sachinder mentioned, CTO, Chief Strategy Officer, CRO, and Chief Collection Officer, Chief Business Officer, and one below, two level below, we have seven to eight NSM in the business side. We have credit side too. We have number of NCM basically who can underwrite that book. So we have, I think, good management bandwidth created for next 10-year growth, which we see in the market. As we mentioned, we don't give much forward-looking our numbers, but we see good opportunities there in the market as a low housing loan penetration. We see another growth of housing loan upgrade is happening because of GDP growth and income growth. We see housing upgrade and aspirational house need will also emerge in tier 2, tier 3 towns. That will also help us to our growth, better growth in the coming years.
And just to add on to what Ghanshyamji said, I think from middle layer management, which is there, so I think we have a robust, strong middle layer management, whereas in business origination, we have 43% plus of people on the team side, which is more than 3 years vintage. On credit and risk, we have 71% of employees, which are 3 year plus vintage. And on collections, we have 78% employees, which are 3 year plus vintage. So I think that talks about the depth of management and the strength of management put it on the right and strong pillars, so to say.
I understand layers below the top guy, but my question was more on the top position. But anyways, yeah, so those were my questions. Thanks a lot and I wish you all the luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachinder Binder, MD and CEO of the company, for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for attending the call. As mentioned last quarter, we will be hosting an Investor Analyst Day on May 24, 2023 in Bombay to give you all a chance to spend time with the broader leadership team. A formal invite will soon follow. We look forward to hosting you all. For any further information, we request you to get in touch with Ghanshyam Gupta in our investor relations team or SGA, our IR advisors, and they would be happy to help you. Wish you all the best and God bless you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aavas Financiers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.